This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Are you not entertained? This is more the conversation that I have with Dr. Frank Campbury on our weekly Trump report that turns into a culture report. We've been doing for 8 years. This is a continuation of the conversation we're going to play for you this evening. And you can go check out the full interview, which is like twice as long, on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Declare Your Independence with ErnestHancock.com, and it'll have the full show.
The UFO story, if you think about it, would be, you know, the largest story, probably more than the JFK deal, because it's not just, you know, the fact that, you know, other aliens are around us, about our place in the universe, the philosophy. I mean, that's a whole thing in itself. But it immediately shows the level of secrecy that our own government is able to do. And then if you realize the government's been hiding this to that level, well, then what other so-called conspiracies might be true? Whether they're true or not, it just causes another cognitive dissonance for people to say, my God, was anything I was told true, whether it's JFK or whether it's 9/11 or whether it's the Gulf of Tonkin or whatever. I mean, just everything gets in doubt, and that's where you lose the trust. Kind of like with patients. The minute they stop trusting their doctor, the minute they see their doctor not as their doctor with their own best interest, but they see their doctor working for the man or the system or the insurance company or some code on the computer when they barely look at you, that's when patients, they lose the confidence, which is very important when you're going through a healing crisis. So it's a very similar thing. But that's why the alien story is fascinating, because it's multi-pronged. Now, I want one quick point on the alien story itself. You know, I don't want to make this again the Art Bell thing, but I have to say, I listened to Tim Pool comment on the hearings that were just the other day. And, you know, I do like listening to Tim. I think I've watched his evolution politically. He's, you know, a smart young man. But listening to him comment on the UFO situation, I realized how little he understands what has been said so far. He was parroting what I honestly used to think too. You know, how could there be UFOs? Because everyone's got cell phones and, you know, whatever's going on, it must be just top secret government stuff. And after all, the SR-71 Blackbird was admitted to back in, 1969 or something? I mean, and that was the Blackbird the year I was born, essentially. So if the Blackbird, which still looks like a space plane today, was go, just imagine what they have today. And you can just say, yeah, anything goes. And it's easy for me, myself, to just write that off, which I did. You know, I remember UFOs when I was a kid. I read about them. But, you know, later on, I matured out of that. Right. Of course, I love all, you know, the sci-fi. But I honestly did not believe that these stories that seem more and more outlandish, whether it's the abductions or you know, insect aliens and all this stuff. It's just beyond crazy. But I have to say, I'm not saying the insect aliens exist or whatever. But the issue of these UFOs that very likely are not man-made, I have to tell you, without going into all the details, the more you start to look into this, things start to connect, and it blew my mind. And now I understand why you have Marco Rubio and politicians putting their own reputations on the line, government people coming out, military, But the important thing is if you just scratch the surface on the top, it's hard to maybe wrap your head around it. But the more you start looking into it, and I know it's dangerous. That also means like you're going down rabbit holes on the internet, and that's not what I'm implying here. But if you do a deep dive through history and you pull up like Life magazine articles, there's things that were published in the 1950s that are the exact same stories people are seeing today, as an example. Which, just that, I mean, same pictures. You know, the same, you know, the Black Triangle, for instance. 1950-something. You know, I told you on the show, Marilyn Monroe is in a bathing suit on the front cover of a Life magazine from 1954. And inside is an artist's rendition of the exact same giant, mile-long Black Triangle that flew over Phoenix in 1997 for the Phoenix Lights. And, you know, I'm sure the people who talked about it, the thousands of people, including our governor here in Arizona that saw it in 1997, didn't know about the 1954 article and said, oh, yeah, I'm just going to make up this ruse and I'm just going to copy with some old, you know, magazine article. No. So when you see, that's just one example, and I don't want to get further into it, but I started to realize Tim Pool, as an example, was in the same, he's in the same mindset that I was, and I could see the evolution or rabbit hole, whatever you want to look at, but there's more to the story, and hence, as I personally, and we're not going to make this UFO show, but as I personally, I'm starting to see that there really could be something there, and then the cover-up behind it, I'm starting to see why is it being released now, which is more topical for our show. Is it the greatest PSYOP of all time? It certainly is. So is this on purpose to throw everybody off the destruction of our country and the economy, which, you know, after all, we're talking about UFOs right now and not the destruction of the dollar, which is really the story that many of us we agree is really more of an important story. But that is where the conversation goes. Or, and this is the last point, Ernie, thanks for letting me get all this out, is this like further evidence of the culture war at its deepest level? And let me explain. What we're seeing with Trump was the first time that the deep state, who has its own resistance, came through. In other words, like in Congress, right? The Republicans were in don't say they're Congress. They had what's called the Freedom Caucus, right? The Freedom Caucus were made up of basically Tea Party Republicans because the average Republican, they're all neocons. So if you happen to be a nationalist of a Tea Party guy, you know, then, you know, you had to kind of create your own faction. And that's where the Freedom Caucus came up. It was created. Now the Freedom Caucus is almost the majority. And that's what the whole House Speaker problem with McCarthy that went on all night or how it was like a week or something.
I don't know, 16 ballots or some crap like
16
that.
16 ballots, right. That's what all that was about. It was the fact that the Tea Party or the Freedom Caucus has gotten so large and so influential that they were able to make that move and demand concessions from the establishment arm, which they couldn't do before. So that is what's happening. We're seeing that in Congress. We also saw that with the deep state. When Donald Trump was getting under attack, or Hillary Clinton. When Hillary Clinton and Trump, both in 2015 and 16, what was all the information wars we're seeing, all these leakers, right, about Hillary Clinton and the emails, the whole thing that threw Comey at the last minute, he had to investigate last minute emails that were found that were on Anthony Weiner's phone that connected to Hillary Clinton. Yes, we have long memories on this show that all the stuff that we don't care about. But if you remember what was going on, apparently, were, I don't say conservatives, but let's say patriot or whatever word you want to use, the non-deep state people who were doing their job. They're good FBI, CIA agents, I guess. They're regular Americans. But the country and the deep state has changed underneath them as well. So they're creating their own resistance factions pushing back against this organized corruption at the top. So when they saw Trump run, they looked at him as someone worthy of saying, look, you know, maybe this is the time to put up or shut up. And that's when these leaks started to come out against Hillary and the deep state. And then, of course, they're fighting back by the made up FISA court, you know, P tapes and all the stuff with Trump. But that's the internal war there that we're seeing, you know, the white hats or whatever word you want to use. I don't want to use that word. That sounds like QAnon, whatever. But that's what we're seeing. It's truly happening. And hence, this is what apparently the real story is also about the UFO story, is that the UFO story has been top secret because of the big money involved, military-industrial complex, these private aerospace companies that are basically working with or for the government, but they house all the UFO stuff at private aerospace companies, so technically it's private, so therefore Congress can't get access to it. So they're playing this shell game, hiding stuff, right? But there are many people who are exposed to this, who know about whatever's going on with this UFO thing, and they don't like the way it's going. They feel that it should be open to humanity. They feel that the research is being stymied, that bad things have happened, un-American things, whatever. So you're having a faction that has for decades wanted to have this stuff released, but there was never enough political will or opportunity to do anything about it. But as this resistance in America, as we're seeing this breakup of the separation of us, good or bad, but we're having people finally push through from the establishment. Heck, they passed the Whistleblower Act, which allows people to come forward and talk about their UFO experience as they're part of the government and not lose their job and not be hassled.
You know, I gotta mention this. Well, we did a look into that years ago doing a show, and the only thing that impressed me that gave you to get whistleblower status, you gotta let the government know you're gonna be a whistleblower. It was like, can you imagine Edward Snowden? Okay, now I want to file with the whistleblower thing, you know?
No, I know. It's a bit like the chicken or the egg. I definitely get it. But anyway, it's an interesting point that a lot of the UFO community is talking about, that's kind of a deeper issue. It's not even about aliens anymore, really. It's what is, you know, is that there's a civil war within the deep state itself over whether or not this should be, you know, public knowledge or not. And a lot of it's just greed and money, because what apparently is going on is it's not about, you know, good guys who just think all of humanity should have access to this and be aware. Many people do think that, apparently. But what it really is about is a lot of new private companies, a lot of new tech companies, maybe Tesla as an example. I'm not saying that's them, but there's a lot of other, you know, new billion-dollar companies that weren't around in the 1940s and 50s. They're not Lockheed, you know, they're not Boeing. These are new companies now that want access to some of this technology. Apparently that's what's going on. And they've been locked out, and it's almost like a monopoly that the government has done sweetheart deals with. You know, the military-industrial complex has taken decades of evolving all the key players. Well, you have all this new money in Silicon Valley and elsewhere, and they're hearing about this, and they want access to it. But now the government's in a strange spot, because in order to bring other companies into it, you know, how do you do that without revealing it to everybody? Or can you? And that's kind of why this is all complicated politically, apparently, is what I'm hearing. So anyway, so yeah, all of this is, it's just another symptom, I think, of the deep state war, the I guess people in this country standing up from the establishment and either fighting back or separating from it, decoupling from it, which we're seeing with the parallel economy, which is a whole other deal, like Heartland of America. You know, you can't change Disney. Disney wants to go down the tubes and self-destruct. Well, we're just going to say, you know what? We're tired of trying to convince or get along. We'll just do our own thing, for better or for worse. And that's the culture war coming to a conclusion. Where and how does this end? How does this end? Does one side capitulate to the other and we go back to the 1950s or even the 1980s where, you know, we had political disagreements, but nothing like today?
Yeah, no, this side, this bifurcation thing, left, right, them, they, whatever. I'm going, no. There's at least three sides to everything. There's this one, opposite to them, and me, okay? I go, do I get a side? You know, I get to decide for me. Do I get to have an opinion, a criteria that's separate from these two I get offered, which is often the same thing? You go, it's like this in politics. This is what I learned. I've been doing this 35 years. It's late 80s. I was in my 20s. I get it. This is what happens. You have the all CNI pyramid. You got the left side, the right side. You go up high enough on the pyramid, you find it converges. It's the same thing.
They're the same people doing the same crap for the same reasons. It's just different Coke or Pepsi. I mean, you're going to get your sugar, you know, or your corn syrup or whatever. So I'm just, this is all of this distraction on how and what you're, the way you're going to be ruled is why I'm not a fan of political change. That doesn't mean I don't get involved in politics. I get my soapbox. I've run for Congress 3 times, U.S. Senate against McCain, ran for Secretary of State 2 times, county recorder, legislature a few times. I'm in the fight. And I get in because you get to have a say. And when I get up there and I express myself and all this, now they're looking back, wow, that early guy was right. What the hell, man? When I get back to Arizona, ooh, we're going to play on what? Occupy the land. We're creating an effort, occupytheland.org. You'll start to see what we're doing. But the point is, as I know with this, you'll own nothing, and here's your happy shot. It's land. It's the ability to educate your own children, feed your own children, you know, water your own children. I mean, you know, be able to enjoy life, sit on the back porch, watch the sunset while smoking a doob, and you don't need to work that much because you don't have the vampire squid interest to the central banks, you know, in your face, and you're out in the middle of, you're not regulated, not in a homeowner association. If I got my stuff paid off, and you guys can suck it because I built my own dwelling on my own land. Well, hell no, you're so freaking not allowed to do that. Well, you know, now we got the governor of Arizona just a couple of weeks just came out and said, I don't know if I told you this, Frank, check this crap out. She goes, no more building permits for any home in Maricopa County that's on well water. And I'm going, so I got to go through the municipal water treatment. Here's your fluoride dose plant? Really? Well, and our 20 acres? I'm like, yeah, we're just going to do rainwater. You know, if you, all right, check this out. 20 acres, you set aside an acre. You take an acre, you dig it 4 feet deep. You put gravel in it, that gives you one-third of the, two-thirds is displaced by the gravel, one-third of the space is water. So 3 feet, and you do 4 feet just to kind of, you know, have some extra and make sure you don't get light down that will mess up the water. You bring it up to 3 feet. 3 feet of water in an acre area, kind of a, you know, just gravel-covered pond kind of thing, just from a foot of rain gives you 1 acre foot, which is 326,000 gallons. I think, wow, I can make it on that, okay? So I go, I set aside an acre. Well, what are you going to do with it? Nothing, but it's gravel. Hell, I can park on it if I wanted to. You know, the whole thing is, if I do that, am I not on well water? Am I good now? Can I build? Am I all right? And I say, I don't even need a permit, so suck it. Now what? You know, they're going to, oh, no, you can't. They want you off the land. They don't want you self-sustaining. That's why we're going to be pressing this. We're going to bring this up. We're going to file suit. We're going to have standing. We're going to bring this into the conversation. It's going to be part of campaigns. It's going to be an issue. This is what I've been doing for 35 years, is making things an issue, whether it's gun rights or internet or censorship or economics or whatever it is. We are able to inject it into the conversation that they don't want injected. I've had, you know, Arizona Republic editorial board. They got like 13 guys in there. They bring me in. They want to explain it to me. If I would only pick, because we used to do a thing called Citizens Taking Initiative, was a newspaper. We would file all these political initiatives, and then some of them would take off. You know, that's why we got unrestricted concealed carry in Arizona. That's why we got, you know, a bunch of things that we did, you know, and education reform and different things. Because if a freedom-oriented person got into the legislature, what kind of bills would we introduce? Boom, these. Wow, that's good. That's a good idea. We'll do that. And then politicians see the support from the people. They, you know, put a bill in and get all kinds of support. It passes. Oh, my goodness, what the hell just happened? Well, this we have experience with. Well, the Arizona Republic, the largest newspaper in Arizona at the time, I don't know what's a freaking penny saver now, but, you know, what happened was the editorial board had bringing me in, and this is the deal they tried to offer me. This was December of 93. I remember we were first getting going. I've been doing this a long time. And what they offered me is I got to pick one or three issues that they wouldn't go against. They would kind of give a nice little article and promote a little bit. You'd be in with the family a little bit. If we would abandon all these others because we had 36 initiatives filed, this is what we would do, and you guys all suck. You know, they go, woo-hoo, what the crap was that about? So what did we do? We go. Issues, very important. The people demonstrated the popularity of them. Some legislators would get all kinds of attention, and they get stuff passed, and then bring me in and kind of, you know, not have us mess up their plan for whatever the hell else that they had. And back then, it was environment. You know, it started with Kyoto and the Rio de Janeiro treaties and everything. That was the starting pistol for the New World Order. Here we go. Daddy Bush gets up there in the early 90s. You know, the New World Order and all this. Man, they just got on it. And we were in their way. So they offered us that we get these. They didn't understand that all of these issues were centered around the hub of leave-me-aloneism, of freedom, of liberty. They couldn't comprehend it. And I'm going, no. I don't need you. You guys don't even know. You have no idea what's coming. So this has been a long time, my adult history, my, you know, majority of my life with my wife and four kids, because we understood what was going to happen for our grandchildren that are now starting to be teenagers. This is a lifelong, eternal vigilance kind of thing. Well, what is it that they want? Control. And one of the things is if you are able to sustain yourself, if you are able to keep breathing in and out without their permission slips, that you can feed yourself, make sure you got water, got a nice dwelling, educate your children, make them, oh my goodness, they know how to actually feed themselves and build houses. What the crap is going to happen then? That is why we're doing OccupyTheLand.org. And the reason is because I know that is what the biggest threat to their future plans for the masses of humanity is, that you be under their control. Nope, 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 nope. I need to out this and make sure it's very clear. And where am I going to do it? Yeah, I can play politics. I'll run for, I don't vote. I mean, it's common knowledge. You know, some new reporter will go, well, we see that you don't vote. And all the other reporters are going, no, never do that with Ernie. Because, of course, I'll explain it to him, right? It's just an opportunity to express this and show the other candidates sitting up at the desk, sitting at the forum, sitting up at the chairs on the stage. They see the excitement from the crowd. So what happens? They change their rhetoric a little bit. Then it's the next election cycle, and they adopt this kind of stuff. It's general public opinion. They go to where they see the support. And the only support that they get is a check from some NGO or special interest that wants them to do whatever. And they go, oh, yeah, I'll be your boy. And once they go down that road, it forever will dominate their path. So this is why we use the tactics that we do.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The so-called doomsday cult mom will spend life behind bars for the murder of her two youngest children.
You're sentenced to the custody of the State Board of Corrections to serve the maximum allowed sentence, a fixed determinate term of life imprisonment with no possibility of parole.
Earlier this year, Lori Vallow Daybell was found guilty of murdering her 17-year-old daughter and 7-year-old son and conspiring to kill her husband's ex-wife. Idaho prosecutors say she and her husband were obsessed with doomsday-focused religious beliefs. One of of the biggest trucking companies in the U.S. is shutting down operations. Over 30,000 workers at Yellow Trucking are now out of a job after the Nashville-based company called it quits. The Teamsters and Yellow have been at odds after the company sued the union, claiming it was blocking restructuring plans needed for the company to stay afloat and avoid bankruptcy. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
What the real options are, what's really happening to them, and why. But, solutions. What can they do about it? So that's what we offer, an inspiration of things that we do. Dr. Frank does in his profession and his area and his activism and so on, what I do, what the audience does, because Freedom's Phoenix is a tool. Matter of fact, just yesterday, we've been up here. One of the reasons I'm up in Maine is our IT guy expert, Derek, is, super Michelangelo geek of he can build and do, got machine shop, does all kinds of IT stuff. I mean, the guy's a genius. Well, what happens is he needs to get ready for the zombie apocalypse. I got, you know, Grandpa left me 50-something acres not too far from his home up here, and he's got, you know, tractors and excavators and skid steers and dump trucks back there and a wood mill, and, you know, we've been a building. Because that's what he wants to do. He feels better doing that. He can do all this other stuff, but he really wants to do that. So I've been helping as much as I can, spare time going and plowing and chainsawing and logging and milling and whatever, so I can get a single morning of him to sit down, go into his bat cave, and work on the site and do some things that we need to do to make it work better for what we have planned. And we were doing that. The Freedom Forum on Freedom's Phoenix used to be a buzz, man, rock and roll and whatnot when we first started back in 05. We've been doing this a long time. So now we need that functionality when everybody went to all these platforms. They go to Twitter and Facebook and whatever the heck they go to. But they're controlled. They're surveilled. You know, the Facebook Threads is like, you might as well just, you know, do it on .gov TV or something. I mean, you know, this has been so obvious, so we are resurrecting a lot of our capacity to keep it inside and controlled by me. You know, if you don't like me to be your benevolent dictator, well, then don't come. Because we are not going to allow the trolls. We are not going to, you know, you have free speech as much as you want until I don't like it. You know, whatever. Because you're going to be an add to the community or you are not. And if you don't like that, then don't come. I don't care. You know, and I do my best not to get involved, but I don't care. Because I don't care. You can say whatever you want. I don't care. But when you start to ad hominem, when you're going after people, when you're gaslighting people, when you make the subject somebody that expresses an opinion as opposed to the opinion, then I know you're working for the man or you're missing your calling and you should be getting paid by him. You know, I've been, you know, on the boards and everything since the early 90s. I saw when the internet was freaking freedom and it was awesome. You could go on to any site, certainly a freedom-oriented libertarian site, and there would be, you know, professionals, doctors, lawyers, astrophysicists. I mean, you know, any and every, you can ask any question and get a succinct, clear, non-political answer. And it was just amazing, the communities that were created, you know, just, you know, on their own. Reddit became very popular for that very reason. Then it got infiltrated. So we understand how to set it up so that we can get back to the way people communicated before all of the infusion of the control. And it was amazing how long it took them to do. It was about 2004. Now, I can tell you when it happened. One, you started having broadband, so people were able to, you know, do some butt whipping, which is where James Corbett came from. He moved to Japan. Japan had high-speed internet in the apartment that he had, so he could do all this research and create. Boom! The Corbett Report was born because he had access to information quickly. When that happened, during the 04 presidential campaign, Howard Dean ran for the Democratic nomination. You know, he was showing that he could bypass the controls of the elite and who got selected. And he's going, he was creating flash mobs with this new fangled internet thing, and all of a sudden, boom, thousands of people show up at rallies, and he got up and he's going, woohoo, man, we're rocking. Ooh, the woohoo that killed his presidency. But that was it. That was the best they could come up with, but they had to stop him. Now, they bribed him, they'd get him to shut up and say, here, you can be chairman of the Democratic National Committee, you know, but you can't be the nominee, whatever crap that was about. And I don't give a crap. I remember what he was, another socialist, who cares? But the point was, is they have to have you in control. If you're not in their control, then you're out of control. And the other one was a really good example. There was a guy who was a video gamer, and he had a following of like 60 million people. All he did was play video games. His name was PewDiePie. Who gives a crap about PewDiePie? What the hell's a PewDiePie? But what happened was he had so many young men that were, you know, every word that he said or he called BS on some woke social whatever the hell years ago, woo, man, you're being banned, canceled, whatever, or you're going to be part of us and we're going to pay you, you know, what? I don't even remember what happened to that. But they had to control these kinds of people. Who breaks out? The Tucker Carlsons. How, you know, how broke out is he really? I don't know. Joe Rogan. How broke out is he really? I don't know. You know, I'm glad they're there. You know, they're, you know, getting a lot of information in the general public mind. But this is, we are at a war with the access to your mind. It's Alex Jones stuff. It's a war for your mind. It's an info war. Damn Skippy it is. So
yeah, and it's happening at such deep levels. I mean, some ways it's kind of overt. And I'm just thinking, I'll give you just two examples, one overt and one not so, that I just ran into. One, Ernie, you're going to love. Walt, back to Disney again.
Frank keeps saying it's not about Disney. It's always about Disney.
They're the poster child for everything we're talking about, business, culture.
No, they are. But,
yes, they are. And this one maybe is news to you, Ernie. I know one of probably the best Marvel movies that we could all agree on, I think, was Captain America, Winter Soldier. Right? I mean, it was saying, for a comic book movie, it was saying a lot. And by the way, the actual Civil War comic book series that came out about 15 years before the movie is fantastic. It really is. It's a very mature story. They just touched the surface in the movie. But it dealt with, of course, government surveillance, right? Captain America representing the old world of America, because Captain America was frozen from the 1940s, right? I mean, he represents that time. So it was fascinating that Marvel Disney at that time was even willing to portray an old America as a hero wearing red, white, and blue. I mean, I have to give Kevin Feige, props. But then again, they were already stuck on that journey, because when Marvel was sold to Disney, Marvel had already put those movies in production, or at least in story. So I think Disney
I gotta put the reminder to people about this, because I remember this. Captain America was in the 60s against them dirty hippies that weren't in support of America doing war in Vietnam. I mean, they used him for that. Then you had, I remember it was in the mid, 2000s or before the level, so it had to be like 03, 05 around in there. That I remember us covering it in 09, 10 on the show. Spider-Man, which is Marvel Comics, it got, taken up by Sony there for a while or something. Spider-Man was used to sell vaccinations for the United Nations. They were pushing a bunch of their kid books and UNICEF and whatever the hell that they're doing. They have anything that has influence, influencers, comic book characters. Now, them with this, you misogynist America, and we can't have any heroes that are straight white men. Well, who comes to mind? DC's Superman! So, in the comic books, I remember a year or two ago, Frank comes on the show and he says, they used a kryptonite trap, a cell of whatever, and they entrapped Superman in prison. They got to wait for Batman to go save him or something. I don't know what happened with that. But they had him in prison where they raped Superman every day. They're in the comic book. They're raping Superman. Who the hell are the writers for that? Okay? When did that... Then, DC Comics, Batman and Robin. Robin's gay now. I mean, you could see it coming, because it hit the comic books first, then it starts getting into the movies, and now you got this menagerie of what the hell's going on at Disney and Marvel now,
And of course, also the truth, justice, and the American way. They took out the American way, right?
Better.
So they're changing all that up. They're trying to erase what these characters even stood for.
Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow.
It's getting in their way. Well, here's what I'm getting to with this. We're talking about some of the culture and the fight that we're having. This is more overt. So the comics talked about this. The comics were created when America was, America and the evil commies, right? I mean, the Red Skull, all the bad guys, a lot of them are Russians or Germans. It was kind of easy villains back in the day. What's happening, though, is that communism and socialism is being taught in the schools now as a good thing. That communism, socialism is just, it's misunderstood. And it's a bunch of right-wing talking points that have mislabeled this. People like Bernie Sanders, as a champion of this sort of thinking. So I'm sure at this point they don't even hide it anymore. And they don't like anything that puts down communist philosophy. I mean, that's actually what's happening. And so the comic books are kind of a problem here because Disney buys Marvel. Marvel's written, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, especially in the 80s when it was against the, you know, the Cold War and all of this. I mean, that's what Watchmen was all about, right? Watchmen was a kind of a meta study on politics of the time. But anyway, now the movies are adopting those comics. So the Civil War series was Steve Rogers, you know, Captain America, and fighting back against fascism taking over America and government surveillance. And that was a highlight for a bunch of the libertarian community going, wow, they actually went there. Well, the story is supposed to continue to destroy the New World Order, okay, which is the ultimate global, it's like the globalist agenda, right? I mean, and in the comics, it's called the New World Order storyline. And the new comic books, the new Captain America movie, which is coming out very soon, is supposed to continue that. And, of course, I was thinking, I can't believe Disney, who now owns Marvel completely, would continue that. Well, I'm hearing rumors, of course, that they've completely, you know, jettisoned the story, and it's a name only, but they kept the title New World Order. However, just this past week, and it took a while to get to the news, the pseudo news here, Disney just changed the title of the movie because they don't want New World Order to be considered a bad thing. And now they've changed the title to Brave New World. So that is what they just did with the new Captain America movie. It's another way to soften the idea that maybe globalism and New World Order isn't that bad after all. So, I mean, I'm literally watching them do this with the title of the movie. And of course, the content of that. And then one other, a different example. I said one is more overt. To me, that's an overt one. Disney's just kind of showing you what they're doing. But I had an interesting experience. I went, I had some family come out of town to visit this last week, and I had paid money for a young person to digitize a lot of the home movies that I inherited from my grandparents. My Italian grandparents, all the Super 8s and way back in the day from the 1950s and 60s. I mean, I guess they paid for one of those old cameras. So anyway, we were about to throw them all out. And I thought, you know what? Let me get someone to record it. Anyway, so we got the flash drive and my family's all together. We're sitting there watching all these old movies without sound. And yeah, obviously a lot of memories, nostalgia. I haven't seen that. A lot of them I never saw before. Saw my mom on her first date with my father. That was pretty astounding to see that moment, you know, on film. But one of the things I was seeing were the memories coming back when I was a child were the Italians. Again, I'm half Italian, where they would get together every weekend. Every weekend they were together and you see all these movies and they're just having a blast. My grandparents lived in a tiny, tiny house, like a row home, like you see in All in the Family with Archie Bunker, you know, it was like row homes, and that's where they lived. It was a tiny home like that, and they had no land, you know, they were just kind of poor people who just had family, and I remember going down into their basement, and their basement is probably the size of just one of my rooms in my house here, probably even smaller, and the entire family, you know, 20 people were just crammed down into the basement. There's no windows. They would just put on some lights, and they would just party and sit around in a circle in the little folding chairs, and they'd just be laughing and dancing and doing a polka and whatever. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I remember those times. And I sit back, and I'm watching these videos, and it's a different world. I mean, you know, they didn't have really great air conditioning. There wasn't televisions on. It was just them. And yet then I look around, and some of the people in my family, as they're watching this, the young people, they're there glow-faced. They're sitting there on their computer and their phones the entire time, as they're even looking at videos of family. Now, I know, you know, young people don't always care about, you know, old movies, but to see, when do we have that experience now? Whenever you get a group of people together, in 2 seconds, when there's one distraction, people reflexively go to their phone, right? And everyone's glow-faced, you know, which is, you know, just everyone's looking at their screen.
You know, that happened.
And I think when we talk about culture, I'm just making a point that before we entertained ourselves, we created family bonds. Going back to the beginning, the family unit, culture, religion, all of these things. Because when my family got together every week, it wasn't like Christmas every week. It was someone's christening. It was a wedding. It was someone graduated to school. There's like 50 grandkids, you know. So there was always a reason to get together. So the culture, the community was always bonded and could entertain each other with stories, which keeps a strong culture. But today, I've got my own family, and everyone's on the cell phone watching or reading some article or a video game connected somewhere. I mean, this one family member was on the computer playing video games with people from around the country, around the world. You know, I mean, literally sitting there talking to someone from Russia, probably playing a video game, and I'm having a different conversation. We're all in the same room, and our brains, our mental, our consciousness is already separated and split apart even when we're in the same room. And that is such a profound change in the bonding of human beings at a very basic level. And it just hit me hard watching those videos thinking that wasn't that long ago. But yet that is obviously compounding the problem that we have today.
You know, I had that same experience. It was a few Christmases ago, and, you know, we have a large family, and, you know, there were all my kids, grandkids, and friends, and, you know, in-law relatives. I go into, you know, you know, our front room that we had at the house, you know, kind of sunken area there. I go in, and everybody around the entire room is sitting on the floor. All of them at the same time were looking at their phone all blue-faced on a sunny Christmas morning afternoon. And I'm like, what the crap? I go, are you guys serious? You know, but what they were doing, and they go, oh, Papa, you're being a pain in the butt. What they were doing is they were all sharing gifts that they had, all their favorite pictures and everything. So they created their own little, you know, family channel or something, and they were just all adding to it. Well, I go, okay, that's cool. I'll sit down with you. So at least they were all, you know, using the technology to share with each other live while they're sitting there. And I was going, are you freaking kidding me? So, of course, you know, they had to, you know, they weren't doing what I thought they were doing. But technology does allow for, you know, certain things that you could do. But I know your point, man. That's why I said something. I'm like, no freaking way. Well, they were, you know, enjoying each other's company and sending stuff. And it was pretty funny, you know. But
well, if you think about it, Ernie, where it's one example of the family unit. Because typically, you know, blood's thicker than water. You have a strong family. But when you're amongst family, and yet you're still interacting with people who are not family. Doesn't mean that it's bad, but you know, you're listening to some podcast, or you're reading an article, or a video game friend, or whoever. But consciously, we're distracted. You know, we're our brains are interacting with some other person with a whole different worldview, which just doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that the concentration of like-minded people that come from the same neck of the woods, the same music, the same high school, the same religion, perhaps the same, you know, which is what it was, the glue that kept us together. Now, granted, you can make the argument that, you know, well, this is the advantage of technology, is that we don't have to be just mired in the world that our family gave us. You know, if our families come from a certain part of the country, you know, maybe you don't want to live there. You know, now with technology, we can get to hop in an airplane and live wherever we want. We don't have to listen to the same music that the entire family does. Now I can listen to some obscure, you know, whatever song from wherever that no one else has ever heard. So yes, the individuality, and we as libertarians who obviously, you know, a champion freedom and to do whatever you want, and no one's going to tell us what the culture should be. It should be organic, and that's true. But it's the circular argument that Ernie and I spend a lot of time sometimes on this point. We won't do it much today, but which is how do you have such freedom to do whatever you want, but then the freedom can lead to people doing so free that they do their own culture, they become different people from everyone around you. And then you need more rules and regulations, because the more people are different from each other, then the more rules and regulations they often need to keep everyone in check. Whereas if everyone's homogenized in a society like the Japanese are still somewhat, like our country used to be, other cultures, the more homogenized you are, then the less, you know, conflict you have, because everyone's on the same page. Now, granted, no one wants to be told to be a certain way, But you didn't need to be told or forced to think or act a certain way because the culture did it for you and you felt completely free within the confines of your culture. But you blow that culture apart, then everyone's at odds, which is like what you said in the beginning of the show. Heck, now they're doing it on purpose. You know, black and white people are getting along too well. Let's just, you know, piss them off to each other. Now we've got men and women arguing. Now we've got, you know, trans people. We have to debate whether a man is in a woman's bathroom at this point because of, we need distractions.
Use my pronouns!
Yeah, exactly.
And my pronouns are, I told you so. So, you know, you should use my pronouns. You know, I was like, yeah, I missed half of what you were saying because I was looking at my phone. But you know what? You know, what I was looking for is, it reminded me, and it's so appropriate. Those of you that are live on the stream, go to the top of Freem's Phoenix right now. I just reset it and put it to the top, and it's a couple of months old. But what happened, what was this, 525? I went to visit with my nephews in New York City, and they were home for college and school and everything, and, you know, we're hanging and stuff. And then, of course, all this woke crap came up and how, and then I went to visit Richard Grove, who's a good friend in Connecticut, on my way back up to New Hampshire and Maine. And I stopped by and said, yo, what's up? And I was telling him about my experience with my nephews and how their mindset is on how important it is to be inclusive and diversity and yada, 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 yada. And he goes, yeah, it's all part of, you know, the machine and them, the general public opinion thing and dividing and all that kind of stuff. And he had just done an interview with a fired guy's MIT professor or something. He was a professor of Marxism. He taught Marxism as an academic to the students, not pro-Marxist, just he was teaching it, you know, probably negatively, you know, this is what it is, this is why it's bad, you know, kind of thing. And it was a fascinating interview, and the guy's name is, the professor's name? Michael Rechtenwald. Now, what had happened is the left targeted him and got him fired. And they were like, oh, no, he's not doing it right. He's doing it wrong and got rid of him. We got him canceled of weed and you're done. So then he sues and wins. So, you know, wrongful term, whatever it was, it became a big deal. And he wanted to be, he was lobbying to be head of the Mises Institute after Jeff Deist, which used to be, is with the Mises Institute. And he stepped down to go do some other stuff. And he was chief of staff for Ron Paul in Washington. I worked with him on several things. And what happened was that opening was there. And this Michael guy goes, I want to take this. I want to be, we're going to whip some butt. Well, he had an axe to grind because of how he was treated.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked, there's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.